This seminar about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Last time we were talking about, you know, the Arab Peninsula before Islam, how it was look like, and how a lot of darkness was in Arab Peninsula before Islam, and everybody was waiting for the light of Islam. And today, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will just briefly, we will look at the map of Arab Peninsula to see, you know, the prophets and the messengers that Allah sent them to their people or their villages in Arab Peninsula and what around it. I choose this map. Really, it's summarize, you know, all the religions and the prophets, messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have sent to mankind in this area. If you look at, you know, I'm not sure, is it big enough to see, or we need to... Yeah, it's... When we look at, this is the Arab Peninsula, this is the Saudi Arabia, now Al Jazeera Al Arabiya. This one. What?
The red.
This one?
There.
Yeah, there you go. It's good. This is the Arab Peninsula, you know, the green color, or this color here. And from up north, there is Iraq, and there is Bilad al-Sham here, and there is Egypt here, and this is Yemen down there, and this is, you know, Oman and Emirat, and, you know, this is the Red Sea. This is the sea that Prophet Musa hit it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the water for Prophet Musa to run away from Pharaoh, from Egypt, to go to Bilad al-Sham here. And when we look at the map, our lecture tonight about the role and the government of the Arabs before Islam. To see, when we look at, we have four major places has had the government before Islam. This one related to Iraq, which is related to Fars. You know, we have the biggest countries in that time, Al-Roman wa Fars, Roman and what?
Persian.
Persian related to Bilad Fars, because if you move here, you will find Bilad Fars in this area. Bilad ma wara in Nahr. In Nahr means, you know, Nahr, Dijla wa Furat. What behind that they call Bilad Fars. And this is Iraq, and this is Bilad Ar-Ruman, Bilad Sham. You know, Bilad Sham, the major religion for them, which is Christianity, دين المصرانية لأنها مهبط الوحي المسجد الحرام المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله means we blessed around المسجد الأقصى because the most prophets Allah سبحانه وتعالى sent them in this area. And when we look here, these are the prophets and the messenger that Allah سبحانه وتعالى sent them to mankind. This is Mecca here. We're gonna start with Mecca. You know, our forefather Adam and Prophet Ismail and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Mecca here. And if you go here, Bilad al-Sham, and you will find we have a lot of them, because Palestine mosque here, we have this is Jordan, there's Prophet Lut, Prophet Lut, and this is Prophet Ishaq, the other son of Prophet Ibrahim. He had two sons, Ishmael, and Ismail, and the Prophet Ishaq, which is Isaac. Ishmael and Isaac, these are two sons of Prophet Ibrahim. Prophet Ibrahim, you know, was in Iraq, and he moved to Bilad al-Sham, Palestine, and he visited Egypt, and he visited Mecca, and he go back again to Bilad al-Sham. But he was, in the beginning, was in Bilad al-Iraq here. Prophet Nuh, Prophet Idris was in Iraq too. And this is Bilad al-Sham. There is Prophet Ayyub, Prophet Dhulqif, Prophet Yas'a, and we have Prophet Ilyas. Prophet Ilyas, and we have, you know, Prophet Yaqub, the father of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, Prophet Dawood, Sulaiman, Zakaria, Yahya, Isa, peace be upon them. All of them were in Al-Quds, which is, you know, the Masjid Al-Aqsa in Palestine. We have Prophet Yusuf. He moved from Bilad al-Sham to go to Egypt when his brother put him into the well, and they sold, and the caravan found him, and they sold him as a slave into the person in Egypt, and he become the ministry of treasure of Egypt. And he lives in Egypt, and he died in Egypt. Even he called his family to go to Egypt to live with him. And there is Prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and with his brother Prophet Harun, they were in Egypt also. And there is Prophet Hud, Al-Ahqaf, it was in Yemen, down there. And the rest of Arab Peninsula, you know, has no mention for the messengers and the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From Prophet Ismail, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Ibrahim to take his son to put him into the land here, and since that time there is no prophet between them. When we look at this area, there is a lot of prophets between Prophet Ishaq, Isaac, until Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a lot of them. But in this area, exactly, there is no prophet between Prophet Ishaq, Ismail, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? There is a lot of prophets and the messenger in this area, but this area has no prophet since Prophet Ismail till Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a wisdom for that. When the people, you know, we're gonna study today, inshallah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah. We're gonna study today about al-hukm wal-imarat fi al-jazeera al-arabiyya. You know, the role and the government in Arab area or Arab peninsula before Islam. We have al-hukm wal-imara fi al-Arab, means the role and the government in Arabs. Just for as a reminder, we cannot go through all these details, but to take an idea about the Arab Peninsula before Islam to be able to understand why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left this area without messengers or prophets from Prophet Ismail till Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The role in Yemen, like I mentioned, it was there is Yemen here, down there. This is Yemen, far, far south, down there. And this area, they called it Najran. Yemen, they from Al-Arab, Al-Ariba, the pure Arab. And they called even Yemen the Asl Al-Arab. Here, this, the pure Arab was we're there in Yemen here. And when we look at the other area of other side of Red Sea, there is Ethiopia. Ethiopia?
Eritrea.
Eritrea?
Yeah.
What is Ethiopia? Here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ethiopia. Ethiopia, you remember when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did Salat al-Ghaib, the funeral prayer for Al-Najashi. You remember Al-Najashi? He was here in Ethiopia. Al-Najashi, the Ethiopia, they believe in Christianity for long, long time. And the time when we look at this area, it was from Prophet Musa alayhi salam. You know, Judaism was in this area, and when Jews, somebody destroyed their haikal, and they forced them to go everywhere. And some of them, they came to Yemen. And he is a Jew. And he came to Yemen, and he conquered Yemen. And he forced the Christian at Yemen to believe in his way of religion. And it's very famous story in the Quran, Ashab al-Ukhdud. When he moved to Yemen and he conquered Yemen and he tried to force the people of Yemen to believe in his way of Judaism. And they refused. And he made a big trench for them. And he fired them into, the narration said that almost 20,000 people get burned in this trench. And the other narration said it's 40,000 people get killed. And it will help us to understand why Christianity started after that by the sword. And they tried to force people to accept Christianity as a religion for a life. خلينا نفهم ليه النصرانية توسعت ويعني جالت في كل البلاد بسبب هذا الحادث الذي فعله هذا الرجل اليهودي. الرجل اليهودي هذا أراد أن يرغب أهل اليمن النصارى على اتباع دين اليهودية فأبوا فشق لهم الأخدود. قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود. It was here in the city called Najran. Najran in the border between Yemen and Saudi Arabia. In this area exactly, they call Najran. When we look at Yemen, in that time, you know, when the Jew person tried to force them and they refused and he killed them and he burned them, now the Christianity came from this area and they tried to force people again to believe in Christianity, and they tried to spread their religion everywhere in the world after that. But that, when we look at Yemen now, in that time, you know, هي من العرب العاربة وهم قوم سبا. You know, قوم سبا, you know that مملكة سبا. It's a famous kingdom that Quran was mentioned. Saba. Just I would like to mention the last few sentences, because it's you know, a lot of details. We don't need all these details. Yeah. The Jew person, his name Dhu Nuwas, yeah, حمل في سنة 523 ميلادية, on the 523 after the birth of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, you know, he forced the people of Najran وحاول صرفهم إلى اليهودية, but they did not listen to him, and he burned them. And this is the story that Allah mentioned, قُتِلَ أَصْحَابَ الْأُخْدُودِ. And this was the big reason for Christianity to spread everywhere, because of this action that Dhu Nuwas did against Christianity in, or Christian in that time. After that, the Al-Ahbash means the Ethiopian. They sent, you know, 70,000 soldiers from Al-Habasha, and they conquered Yemen again after Dhu Nuwas, the Jew person, after he conquered Yemen, and the Christianity, the Christians again, they conquered Yemen one more time. And the leader for the army in that time, his name Aryat. Aryat, he was Christian, and he conquered Yemen, and he stayed for a long time. And the leader of his army was who? Abraha al-Habashi. Abraha from Ethiopia. Abraha al-Habashi, you know, one day, you know, they came from Habasha here, and they moved to Yemen. His name Aryat, with the 70,000 soldiers. And they conquered Yemen, and they forced people to believe in Christianity in Yemen. In that time, it was 523 years after birth of Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. Make sense? And the leader of his army, his name Abraha al-Habashi, the one who went to Mecca to destroy Mecca with the elephants. You remember his story? Ashab al-Fil, his name Abraha. And Abraha, one day, he found himself has more right than Aryat. And both of them, they were fighting. And the people in Habasha, they were divided, some of them supporting Aryat and some of them supporting Abraha. And Abraha was very smart. He said to him, you know, we should not put people on risk situation. We have to fight two of us only. If anyone win, the rest of the soldier will go with him. And Aryat, he liked the idea, and they were fighting two of them. And Aryat has one slave behind his back. Aryat tried to hit Abraha, and he hit his face with his eyebrow, with his eye, and this is, and he made a big wound in his face. And this is the reason why his name Abraha al-Ashram, because of this wound having into his face. And he killed Aryat. After that, you know, Al-Najashi means the leader. It's not name of Al-Najashi, the leader, like Pharaoh for Egypt, Al-Najashi for Ethiopia, you know, Caesar for Rome, you know, Kisra for a Roman. This is the position of the person who's ruling the country. And Najashi at that time, he was angry with Abraha, and he did swear, I will go to Abraha. How come that he killed the person that I assigned, and he did not respect me? He did oath, I will go to Yemen to put his neck under my foot, and I will kill, I will shave his head in front of people. And Abraha was very smart, you know, and this is they said, you know, politics, you have to know how to deal with the others. And he shaved his hair, Abraha, And he put his hair into the bag, and he took a bag of the dust of Yemen, and he sent his messenger to Al-Najashi here. And he wrote a letter. Oh, my master, you know, I'm so sorry for what happened. Aryat is your slave, and I am your slave too. But I have no right to rule Yemen under your occupation. And you did oath to come to Yemen to put your foot on the desk of Yemen and to shave my hair. I sent my hair for you in the bag. I sent the bag of dust for you to put your foot and to put you, my hair on it to fulfill your promise. And the Najashi liked the idea, and he said, you are smart. And he kept him as a leader for Yemen. And Najashi, when he agreed with Abraha to stay here, and Abraha would like to show a grateful for him, and he built a big church, and he called it Kulais. We were talking last time about a little bit about it. When he built the Kulais, he took a lot of gold and silver from the building of Balqis from Mamlakat Saba, and he put a lot of crosses from gold and silver, and he built a very amazing building for the church. And he said to Najashi, I will force Arabs to come to make pilgrimage into Kulais rather than Al-Kaaba in Mecca. And Najashi was happy with him in that time. This is the reason why he had the army, and he went to Mecca to destroy Kaaba. Just to understand how the story started, why this man, Abraha al-Habashi, or Abraha al-Ashram, why he took his army to destroy the Kaaba here, because he found all Arabs, the religious one or non-religious one, they do pilgrimage every year to the Kaaba. And he tried to force them to come to this area, you know, to do pilgrimage to the Kulais. Anyway, when he went to Kaaba, you know the story of Ashab al-Fil, and this has happened in the same year that Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was born. It's Aam al-Fil. Yeah, this is an idea about ruling in Yemen, or al-Hukm fil Yemen. We're gonna go up to Bilad Fars. Bilad Fars means they call al-Hira, al-Mulk bil-Hira. This is also was a kingdom for Bilad al-Hira. It belongs to Bilad Fars, Persia. كانت في العراق وما جاورها من 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 بلاد حتى من بلاد العرب يعني حتى عراق العرب كانت تحت بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في بلاد الحيرة. When we look at the map, I think it would be a good idea just to take a look. This is Al-Hira here. This is Bilad al-Iraq, near to Bilad Faris, Iran, and Bilad Mawara al-Nahr. And Al-Iraq here, Al-Hira, in this area, near to Al-Kufa, Al-Basra, in Iraq today. This is the area has the authority of Persia in this area. We have Yemen here, some time for Jews, and some time for Christianity, until the time of Islam came and the kingdom of Al-Yemen, he accepted Islam and they become Muslims after that. The same idea here, Bilad al-Hira or al-Mulk al-Hira belongs to Persia, and they also had a system for government. This area and this area and this area, the three big kingdoms, they had a system for government. Yemen and Al-Hira and Bilad al-Sham. Bilad al-Sham. But the rest of Arab Peninsula, they have the system of the tribes. There is no kingdom for them, but they have tribes, and the leader of the tribe, he is a king for them. And if he is mad with somebody, the rest of the tribe should be mad, like their leader. All of them, a lot of them, maybe, you know, hundreds or a thousand of tribes in this area, in Arab Peninsula. There is no major thing to gather them in this area, all this area, except Al-Qabaliyya and Al-Asabiyya. They are ready to die to defend their honors or to defend their words. When Mut'am ibn Adi, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Al-Ta'if to convey his message, and the people of Al-Ta'if did not accept him, and he tried to enter into Mecca, and the people of Mecca refused. And when they refuse to enter into Mecca, there is a man, he was a mushrik, he wasn't Muslim. Yeah. What his name that I mentioned right now? Huh? Mut'am ibn Adi. MashaAllah, he will take lollipop after that, inshaAllah. Mut'am ibn Adi, he was a mushrik, but he accepted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to enter into Mecca under his authority. And he took his children to the Kaaba, and he said, if anyone, you know, stop Muhammad, or if he is under my word or under my protection now, and this is, you know, something good for Arabs. When they said the word, they will die. They will be ready to die to defend their word. And this is also as a preparation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this area to receive the last final messenger, which is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Hukm bil-Hira here in Iraq, it belongs to Bilad, belongs to Faris, Persia. And Al-Hukm bi-Bilad al-Sham, you know, belongs to a Roman, you know, the Christianity. This is Diana here, Al-Majusiyya, the worship of fire, Al-Majusiyya, you know. Here it was Judaism and Christianity after that, until Islam. This is, it was Christianity and also had some Judaism until Alexander al-Makduni came to this area, and he forced them to go away from this area. But the rest of Arab Peninsula, you know, they have only the system of the tribes. And this is Al-Hukm fi Al-Hira, which is Al-Iraq, and Al-Mulk bi-Sham, you know, the role in Bilad al-Sham. And Bilad al-Sham, it's the place of the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of prophets and the messengers came to Bilad al-Sham because of Bayt al-Maqdis. And al-Imara, the government in al-Hijaz. Al-Hijaz mean the whole area different than Yemen, and Yemen, Najran, and different than al-Hira in Iraq, and different than Bilad al-Sham. The rest of Arab Peninsula, they called it Al-Hijaz. Bilad al-Hijaz include all this area. And Bilad al-Hijaz, they did not have a kingdom like what happened in this area in Yemen, or in this area in Iraq, or in this area in Bilad al-Sham. But this area has only the tribe system. And in area of Mecca, the Quraysh, they have very unique system like what we have today in our new government. They divided themselves because a lot of when Prophet Muhammad mentioned about his tribes, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose him for among the best of the best of the best until his family, you know, from the tribe of Quraysh, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose Bani Hashim from the Quraysh, and they choose the house of Prophet Muhammad from Bani Hashim. You know, this is the hadith that Prophet Muhammad mentioned, that Allah chose him from the best tribe among its all the tribes. And Mecca is for a specific purpose because of the pilgrimage, and they were taking care of the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all Arabs they did pilgrimage every year. And this is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored this place and this specific tribe. You know, they used to have two trips every year. One trip to Yemen and other trip to Al-Sham. Rihlatay al-shita wa al-sayf. Al-shita, go to Yemen because it's warmer down there. Al-sayf, up to north because it's colder over there, up north. Every year they have two trips. One go to the Yemen, Rihlat al-Shita, and one go to Bilad al-Sham, Rihlat al-Sayf. And no one is able to stop the caravan of Mecca. Even in the time of Ghazwat Badr, when Prophet Muhammad tried to stop the caravan of Abu Sufyan, you know, it was a big issue for Arabs in that time. Even Abu Sufyan, he ran away and he saved the tribe. He saved the caravan, but it was unusual for any tribe to stop the people of Mecca and to attack them. You know, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for them, you know, the good condition and very high respect from the rest of the tribes of Arab, even before Islam, to get into their intention. You know, this area really has something unique than any other places around it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah. You know, there is a lot of tribes, but the most important tribe that we need to focus on it, you know, the tribe of Mudar. Mudar, which is the biggest tribe that Prophet Muhammad came from, Qabail Mudar. And this tribe, اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. Yeah, for Quraysh, they have very unique system. Even we agree they did not have a system like the government for Yemen or for kingdom of Najran or Yemen or Al-Hira in Iraq, but they have they divided all the responsibility of Mecca between their tribes to make all of them happy and to benefit themselves from all the benefits, you know, because after a while, when the items and the stashes was brought from other area and they put it into Kaaba or around Kaaba, and the people started worshiping these idols and make nuzur and they gave qurbani, gave gifts to the idols, actually to the guidance or the protectors of idols, and they have these benefit for themselves. The role in Sa'ir, Arabs, you know, Arab were divided في مكان من هذه القبائل بالقرب من الحيرة. Some of the tribes were near to الحيرة, which is بلاد العراق, and they enrolled themselves with their system, and some of them were close to Bilad al-Sham, and they also enrolled themselves under the kingdom of Bilad al-Sham, and some of them were close to Yemen, and also because when we have a kingdom and we have a strong king, you know, everybody would like to serve this king, to have protection from that king. But the rest of the Arab Peninsula at that time, that like I mentioned, it was, you know, the system of the tribes, and the leader of the tribe, his word, you know, no one can reject his word. If he's happy with somebody, the rest of the tribe should be happy. If he's mad with somebody, the rest of the tribe should be mad, and they will not argue with him. If he said, we're gonna start the war, everybody should start the war. This is how they respect, you know, their leaders of their tribes. Yeah, and the leaders of the tribes, they have some high status among their tribes. They used to take a benefit from al-ghanima, which is what they called for al-ghanima, which is the money that they collected after the war. This is al-ghanima. They used to take a quarter of that money for themselves only. And al-safi, when the leader looked at any item of this money, he will take it. No one can reject that. And al-nashita, they call about al-nashita. This is a kind of the money also that he choose before distribute the money between fighters. And al-fadul, whatever left after they divide it and they cannot divide it, it will go to the leader of the tribe. If they have maybe one camel, or if they have a horse or something, they cannot divide the camel. How they will divide, and they will give to the leader of the tribes. And this is the reason why they were fighting to achieve the position of leader, because it's a lot of benefits for the leader of the tribe. And the politic condition, you know, also before Islam, you know, there is two major things. The first one, there is, you know, the high class people, and the rest of them like slaves. Only few people in the tribe, they have very, very high position, you know, and they live, you know, their life in very nice way, and the rest of, like dictators system. And the rest of the tribe, they are very poor. They have no opinion for anything. They are serving, you know, the leaders and their families, and that's it. Yeah. كان فيهم ما بين سادة وعبيد أو حكام ومحكومين فالسادة لهم كل الغنم والعبيد عليهم كل الغنم. الغنم, all the benefits will go to the high class people and all the loss will go to, you know, the rest of the tribe. And there is no justice for them in that time. Only few people, they control everything, and the rest of the people, they just serving the leaders and their families. You know, even some of them, he said a poetry, you know, وَمَا أَنَا إِلَّا مِنْ غُزَيَّةَ إِنْ غَوَتْ غَوَيْتُ وَإِنْ تَرْشُدُ غُزَيَّةَ أَرْشُدُ. غزية ده اسم قبيلة, ويقول يعني أنا زيهم, هم يعني مشوا شمال وركبوا دماغهم, أنا زيهم ماشي معاهم, نحارب أي حد يحاربوه. وإن القبيلة دي يعني فاعت ورجعت لربنا سبحانه وتعالى أو للحكم الصواب, أنا حكون زيهم, حأرشد زيهم يعني. فده كان المناخ العام ليهم كلهم على نفس المنوال, إن هو ما يقوله سيدهم أو سيد القبيلة الكل يحتكم لقوله ويأتمر بأمره.